Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 29th day of April. Wow, one more day left in this month. Things are moving fast, very fast here. Either that or I'm just really, really slow. But anyhow, tonight we have Killer Kenny. He is on the board. Hey, Kenny.
Good evening, Pastor.
How are you doing there?
Pretty good. How are you?
Compared to what?
Compared to anything. Compared to last week at this time. How about that?
I'm doing good. Compared to last week at this time. All right. Very good. All right. There you go. Now, speaking of that, we out yonder, we have, you know, in a studio I have right now with me, Aaron Gunnius. Now, I pronounce his last name Gunnius. That's how I remember to do it, okay? Right, Aaron?
That's correct.
Okay. And it works out pretty good, okay? Because I can picture a gun, picture a knee, and see us, right?
That's a good way to say it.
But what do we do?
It's a Greek name. Phonetically, yeah. That's how it sounds.
But what do we do with Joe Larson? I mean, look, have you ever seen, well, what's a Joe look like?
Depends on which Joe.
Well, you see, there you go. Now, here, you're coming here. What about Lar's son? He could be the son of a Lar. There. Well, anyhow, we...
That one kind of fell flat,
if you read my name in English, many people botch it. So that's how you phonetically pronounce it.
All right. Well, then we'll phonetically say we have the Parson, Joe Larson. Hey.
Hey, good evening. Kenny, I'm not hearing well. I'm having a little trouble. Can you check things?
Boy, it's a good thing you weren't hearing well. We were talking about you.
Yeah, I know. I could feel the hair in the back of my neck go up. Yeah.
Yeah. Check him
regardless
out,
of all the bad things you say about me, I'm still here and I'm going to help out.
I know you couldn't hear him, but Kenny says he'd hear better if you'd wash your ears out.
No. God bless you, Joe.
That's all right, Kenny. We get even around here. We're patient.
Listen, we better get into the scripture before there's a fight.
All right. We know who the troublemaker is, don't we, Kenny?
All right. Okay, there you go. We gotta get going. Title of the message was, "Hey Joe, you know,
believe, act, and receive."
We're gonna cover all three of those: believe, act, and receive. We're gonna start out with the believe in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. So, let's take a look at these. Joe, read verse 1 through 3.
All right. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Herodias and beseech... I never can say that right.
Syntyche.
That they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life.
Now let me ask you this, Joe. Did you ever have thought that a pastor would have to deal with women who disagree with the congregation?
You know, way back when I would have said no, but as I get older and more experienced, I totally believe that.
Oh, man, do we. Anyhow, but here, it's an interesting thing, too, because, you know, when he referred to, and he treat the also true yoke filler to help those women, you know, that word yoke filler in the Greek is suzygos, okay? Now, there are those that actually believe that Paul was just calling him by his name, that was actually his name, suzygos, which means yoke fellow, okay? And so, anyhow, he's asking him to try to intercede, between these women to get them to get along. And here, he makes a profound statement in the fact that he says, whose names are written in the book of life. Having your name written in the book, is that a comforting thought?
Oh, it is the best thought in the world. It means you are a born-again believer, and you are saved, and your name is written there forever.
All right. Glory to God.
Amen.
And if it's there forever, your salvation is assured.
Now, this next verse, Joe, is a very short verse, but it's got a whole lot of meaning. Read verse 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice.
Okay,
almost like a commandment. We are to really be grateful that we are in the book of life, right? That we are with the Lord.
That's true, but it has a special meaning to the church there in Philippi, because the church in Philippi, Joe, they were in extreme deep poverty. They were poor. They were a poor, poor church, okay? They barely had enough to get by, but that wasn't the worst of their troubles. The worst of their troubles, they were under great trials of affliction by the Romans and by the Jews. And so here, Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And they were saying, and that church was... Even though they had nothing, they did rejoice. They were blessing in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. See, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What do you think that means, let your moderation be known unto all men?
Well, in moderation in all things, in what you eat, what you drink, you know, you don't overindulge in anything. You're... behavior.
And so they weren't really relying on material things of the world for their happiness, were they?
No.
Okay. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So what is he saying there? He's telling you not to worry about anything. Because you can pray about everything, huh?
You can pray about everything, and you start out praying for all the blessings that you have. When I pray, I give thanks for all the blessings I have, and if I have a request, I do it after I thank him for all the things that I know I have.
Well, that's
all the
idea.
Blessings he's given. And then I make a request if I have a need or a desire and want guidance, whatever it is. Even, praying for other people. Start off by thanking him.
All righty. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay. Aaron, I'm waiting for you to say something profound. I think that verse is a profound verse.
And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts. Does that mean guard?
Okay. Yeah.
And it'll guard your heart when you're focused on the Lord and your salvation and you as a new creation and that you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
So many places in Scripture that peace of God is sitting. You've got that in Isaiah, about 4 or 5 verses, in Colossians and 1 John. And
I will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because they trust in thee.
Right. So you have...
And that's how you can overcome all affliction trial or unpleasant circumstances,
etc. What do you think it means when it says passes all understanding, passes all understanding?
Well, in extreme cases like persecution, which we haven't really had to experience here in America, anyone in Africa,
well,
for example.
Wait a minute. You've heard about the January 6th folks, right?
Well, that's a good point.
Okay, you've heard about just recently, not far from here, a family being broken into by federal marshals and the family being terrorized. You have, you were there when the sheriff spoke and that man stood up. We've had a girl, Cal Zestro, one of my good friends, is facing 11 years of prison for doing what I did out in front of those bloody abortion mills, just standing out there preaching. You've had Brother Hawk, who I had on the radio program, Hawk, who they broke into his house and put guns in the faces of his 5-year-old. Okay.
Well, let me restate that, that the majority of us Americans haven't had to personally experience.
We haven't had what...
But it is happening, right, and it needs to be addressed.
And probably the worst place where Christians are being treated is North Korea. North Korea, they're being horribly, horribly abused in North Korea, okay? And so here, he goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let me finish here very quickly. Then these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, how hard is it to think on all of these things in our society today? I mean, when you turn on the news, the television, anything where you go today, are you talking and hearing things about things that are honest? When you watch the news, do you see anything that's honest in the news today?
No.
Now, what about things that are true? Not if you watch NBC, ABC, and CBS.
You see a lot of lies. You see a lot of hatred. You see a lot of fear. You see a lot of evil, ugliness, and very little of the things that are mentioned in verse 8.
What about whatsoever things are honest? Are you going to get any of that from our politicians, from the Biden family?
No.
Okay. Whatsoever things...
Being told to stay away from places like that where you know they're lying or they know they're, you know, just showing ugly, whether, you know, you are to go places to look for the good, for the truth. And the world still has a lot of good things happening, a lot of good brothers and sisters out there, people working, serving the Lord, helping. You know, there's much good news, but
there is.
You have to go find it.
Yeah, but we're out there, and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is fighting every day. And there is good news. The very fact that we're still here, we're still on the air. Okay. Channel 9, or verse 9, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Now, how important is that? When you seen in me do.
We have to be examples to the world because when people see us, they look at us, and if our behavior doesn't match our testimony, they're not going to listen to our testimony. They're not going to listen to our witness. So basically, they're looking at us and judging us before they decide whether or not they want to listen to us.
All
so
right.
It's really everything, our behavior, our attitude, the way we treat others. That's the first thing the rest of the world sees.
Okay. Go back to chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. So now,
right.
Does God hold the pastors and the Bible teachers to a higher standard?
Yes, much higher.
Okay, so now here, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, he says, what you see me do, do. When you hear me say, say. and so he's putting himself out there because he's leading God's people, right?
Right, and he's using himself as an example.
Yep. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Right.
Do we
have a lot of those.
Now, and the ones that are the worst ones, are they the enemy from within?
Yeah, the hirelings especially. The ones that Joel Osteen, the whole raft of the new prosperity preachers, and I could go on and on. There's a huge list that are really the enemies of the cross of Christ because they're not there to serve the Lord. They're there to fleece the flock, to make money, to get rich. So it's just the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing.
All right, so I just heard Joel Osteen say that he doesn't ever preach against sin because it's negative. He liked to just preach on positive
things.
Yeah,
he just wants to be positive, but he forgot one little minor thing. Unless you are convicted that you're a sinner, there's no way, if you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. And if you don't think you need a Savior, you're not going to go ask the Lord to forgive you to become a born-again believer because, well, what's the need? You're a good, perfect person. So he's keeping people from salvation, which is one of the worst things a pastor can do.
Exactly.
And he probably will burn in hell for it.
Well, who says that? Right here in Philippians, Paul said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things.
Things, exactly. Earthly things. Oh, God wants you to have that promotion. He wants you to have the bigger house, the better things. Always, you know, what you want. And he never preaches about what does God want from of you. I
Alrighty.
Think I've ever heard him talk about that. Have you?
No. In fact, no, I've never seen him once read from the Bible. He holds the Bible up and he says, this is the word of God.
Yeah, he shows it real well. Waves it around all over.
Kenneth Copeland holds the Bible up and he says, you can take this and make God produce the goods. You can force God, right.
Mm-hmm.
To deliver material goods. Now, verse 20.
If you're dumb enough to believe that, you're in trouble, right?
Okay, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Now that word conversation there in the Greek
means plutuma, citizenship.
That's right. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, here, you know, when people become frustrated, and you've noticed a lot of this, and I'm going to do some commentary, Joe, so let me just get it done.
Fire away.
So when people become frustrated with their surroundings, they often find fault with everything but where the fault actually lies, okay? Now, those on the left will rage. They rage. Now, you know, I find it so interesting how those on the left will tell you there is no God. Remember I debated Rob Sherman? There is no God, okay? Yet this God that doesn't exist, remember Nietzsche. Nietzsche said, my brethren, that God that has so tormented you for so long now is dead. No, God's alive. Nietzsche's dead, okay? But it was an interesting thing because Nietzsche also said that since God created man in his image, and now through technology, man will return the favor. God is now what man says he'll be. You know, that's what Klaus Schwab thinks. Those idiots that are with him, okay, they're in for an extremely, extremely rude awakening. See, God's listening to all this, see? Now, here, but what gets me is how they rage against it, like it says in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? The heathen are raging against the God that they said doesn't exist. And, you know, I've heard them people just go off, and they'll say, God doesn't, there is no God, and then they'll say, when they stand before God, they're going to ask him why he allows babies to be born without any arms or legs, why he allows this, why he allows that. So in one breath, they're telling you there is no God. The next, they're telling you how they're going to confront God when they stand before him. First of all, they're going to be on their knees before him, aren't they?
But every nation shall bow. An oxymoron to you, you know, there is no God, but when I meet him.
Well, listen, when they're on their knees before God, who's going to be doing the talking?
God. They're not going to be saying a word.
That's right. Okay, so now.
And they'll be experiencing the emotional attack of all their sin in God's holy presence.
Yeah, and now here's one other thing that a lot of people, and we see this all the time, and I'm included in this category as you guys, that those that are really saved, and these are the least saved, will think they're saved, they get very, very, very frustrated with all the egregious decline of morality led by the mainstream, well, actually led by government. Led by also the mainstream media and academia, they become impatient with God, expecting him to bring his righteous judgment right now. And you know, we're guilty because how many times have we prayed, Lord, please come, please bring the judgment upon the wicked. You know, we're tired of seeing babies being killed. We're tired of seeing children being abused and sexually mistreated. Lord, would you, you know, and we pray those prayers, but sometimes we get a little frustrated and say, God, what's taking you so long? Why aren't you acting? You know, is God on our time schedule?
No, he's not. We get frustrated because we're human. We want it our way, and we want it now. We're not the most patient people in the world.
Now, I've had people, and some people very close to me, refer to your God. Why did your God allow this? Why did your God? Now, being a pastor and a Bible teacher, I'm in some degree considered to be a defender of God's policies, and that's true. I am, just as you've been are.
Right.
And we're expected sometimes the opposition wants us to apologize for his apparent lack of action. Okay.
We don't need to apologize for anything God does. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. He has a plan. The only thing is he didn't just tell everybody what it is because there was no need to know.
So sometimes these people, in their frustration, they really say some pretty stupid things like, you know, one of the things that bothers me.
You see it in a relationship or even friends. Somebody says something, gets a hurt feeling. You know, that you go after sometimes the ones you love. You know, I mean, that's just almost a human thing. Go after somebody when you're hurt.
One of the things that bothers me a lot is when people will say, well, you know, there's really no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. There's a world of difference. You're telling me there's no, I'm a Republican. And you're telling me that there's no difference between me and those people that love death, that want to kill babies, that love pedophilia, that love sodomy? You're telling me that there's no difference? No. The Republican Party platform is one of life. The Democratic Communist Party platform is
one of death.
It's the entire platform is
it's Romans chapter 1.
It's Romans 1. It's about sin. Exactly. So don't, you know, people shouldn't say those things. What about when they say, well, now, it's my body, it's my choice. Let me ask you this.
There's two bodies.
Right. If it was two one body.
That's the key.
Killing,
there's two people.
Murder is never a choice, and God did not make that self-defense is something. But murder, there's a difference between killing and murder. And God, murder is never justified.
And God said, when it comes to abortion, with no exceptions, no exceptions.
Right.
It's a sin, it's
thou
murder.
Shall not, must not, cannot, will not shed innocent blood, and there can be no more innocent blood than that of an unborn child.
You're telling me. How about those that say, well, now, can you tell me why? I want to know why your God allows people to be born homosexual. He allows them to be born that way, and then he condemns them for being homosexuals. First of all,
that's a lie. You're not born a homosexual.
You're not born a rapist. You're not born a murderer. You're not born a car thief. You're not born an arsonist. No, you become these things. You learn to be, don't you?
Yeah.
So that's and you're not born a liar. You're born with what? You're born with a sin nature.
Sin nature, we, as long as we're in the flesh, we will sin. Yeah, we have a sin nature, and because we have free will, we all get to choose. And every decision we make without consulting him, it's based usually physical in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, on us, not on what God desires of us.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
A strange sensation has seized the nation. Man, things are suddenly peculiarly odd. Instead of thugs and thieves are breaking down our doors, we now deplore the federal forfeiture squads, who have a blessing from our Congress to take a cut of everything they can steal. Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, things have suddenly become unreal. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. They got new laws now, they're calling loan fraud. Looks like our law enforcement grew a new arm. You make misrepresentation on your loan application, you might just have to forfeit the farm. The crazy fact is, it's retroactive, which lets them loot your life historically. You may be dead in your grave, but if you did not behave, you might just forfeit up your family tree. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Please, please, federal policeman, sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm.
The ATF and the FBI just hired the KGB. The ADL's got a list for sale,
but you're anti-Semitic if you call it a conspiracy.
Now how could they call it a conspiracy?
My widowed mama, they stole her condo on another federal seizure forfeiture spree. She made the tragic mistake of renting to some reprobate they caught with drugs inside her property. They say her condo somehow was guilty. Now have you ever heard a condo confess? Here in the land of the free and the home of the slave, it's a tangled legal web of a mess. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be stealing my poor mama's estate. Please, please, federal policeman, now this is 10 times worse than Whitewater Gate. Before you pass right on through somebody's private front door, you better check that oath of office you take. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be stealing my
to be seizing my poor daddy's bong. Sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. Please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Please, please, federal policeman, you do the Constitution bodily harm.
Please, please, Mr. Policeman. All right, Joe, breaking several Charlotte police officers wounded. I think there was three U.S. Marshals are dead, okay? And I'm not sure how many are wounded. And that
Five other police are wounded.
Okay, now, there used to be a story like this would bring extreme condemnation from from all across the country, okay, but not so much anymore. And the reason it has got to do with, ever since going in with Obama. Do you remember? I remember back about 1976, 77, in that time, somewhere in that area, the police went from being peace officers, okay, to law enforcement.
Right.
I remember on the telephone poles where they had the posters to stop this, stop the change from the law enforcement. Because back in those days, everybody's in some areas, in most places, I think still today where I live, we support our police and our police support us, where we live.
Oh, same here. Everybody knows the local sheriff's deputies by name and the neighborhood watch. They come out and have weekly meetings and everybody knows who your sheriff's deputy are, and they're part of the community, and, we know what church they go to, the school their kids go to. It's close-knit.
Well, see, it all started changing, Joe. It all started changing. Remember, I did three radio programs with FBI agents sitting in the studio with me, and I was glad to have them there because they were good people.
Yeah.
They were doing their job. But then things started changing, Joe. Remember Ruby Ridge?
Yeah. FBI and in the big cities, things started changing.
Remember what happened there at Waco? Okay.
Yes, back to the FBI changing, what did they say? A fish rots from the head. When you start getting corrupt top-down law enforcement, it's going to start rolling what? The corruption rolls downhill.
Aaron has an article here about how they set up Merrill Largo, but how many times we have people who just recently, when the sheriff came out to speak at our church, and Aaron, you were sitting there, one of the men stood up and said how they had raided, as he got a call from his daughter, and his daughter was beside herself saying, "Dad, get over here, there's about 20 cops here, and they've got guns, and they've got my husband in the car," and he rushed over there, and saying it used to be,
that was the FBI.
Yeah.
It was Lake County, Ohio.
Right. So what happens, it used to be, they didn't go in with 20, 30 people.
No.
They had the guys where they would use smarter. They would go in. They would maybe watch, take them by surprise, wait for them. They didn't go in as jackbooted thugs.
Or sometimes they used to just call people and say, "We have a warrant for your arrest. We're giving you an opportunity to turn yourself in."
Yeah.
They might have a car watching the place, but often the people, when they knew that they were, caught, turned themselves in.
Well, yeah.
Because they weren't afraid that they were going to get beaten or have, 20 people with rifles pointed, like you said, at their wife and kids and everything else.
And this was in relation to the J6, January 6th in 2021. And he said they also allowed deployed a drone to record the inside of that living area.
Right. And you have.
So it's tyranny, basically, what it is.
Yeah, it's tyranny. This is what it is. It's tyranny.
It's intimidation. They're not ruling out of respect for law and order. They are ruling out of intimidation, making you afraid of the government, afraid of the FBI. They're trying to make sure you don't stand up and say anything against the government, the deep state, the FBI, the State Department, the Justice Department, because this is what will happen to you. You'll get six or seven cars in your yard with guys, everybody in combat gear, black helmets, everybody armed with automatic rifles, and that's intimidation. That's what a banana republic rules, how they rule.
Sometimes they'll show up in tanks, okay? And in cases, you know, when they break into
the
house.
Armored vehicle, yeah.
Right.
Which is about the same thing as a tank when you're in your house, you know.
We've seen them going after people that work for Trump and the Trump administration, breaking into their house in the middle of the night, 20, 30 agents.
I've seen one old man, yeah. Who was it? The one that they did? Well, I can't
Roger Stone.
Name right now. But
well, Roger Stone, but there was Roger Stone, but several
yeah,
of
Stone.
Them. They did this to more than one. They've done
and
it
you
to
need
several.
20 agents to arrest an older man that doesn't know how to fight. You know, he's a good talker.
Or isn't a threat. It's more important.
Combat vet. This wasn't armed, you know, crazy. He was a well-known personality. Everybody knew who he was. All that was intimidation to warn anybody else. If you speak out like he does, this is what you get.
Yeah,
it's corruption.
Right. And so people, but the thing of it is, you know, along with trying to intimidate the people brings a lot of hatred, you know, for those. And so, again, and then we see them, the coup that they've done with President Trump. You know, it used to be, I can tell you, when someone would say, I work for the FBI, they could do it with their head, they could hold their head high and not be ashamed. Today, and that's not the case. Even, you know, when they have to tell their children in school, don't tell your friends that I work for, because they, you know, they don't want people to know that they work for the FBI, because what has happened, people like Chris Wray and Colby, Jim Colby, and these people have become so corrupt, and it started with Barack Obama, who corrupted it. They have so corrupt that they're ashamed, and we've watched Comey, we've watched Chris Wray sit there and lie and lie and lie and lie under oath. And it's like saying, so what? Who's going
to prosecute? And have the audacity to tell us to be concerned about terrorist attacks when the Biden administration has created this chaotic,
absolutely
hostile environment in the whole nation with our own taxpayer dollars.
Remember what Mark said. You create the emergency. You create the crisis, and then you provide the answer. Okay. That's exactly what they're doing right now. They created the crisis on the border, this huge crisis on the border. And so what is going to be the answer to that? You know, well,
we got to unite as we the people and then have a good relationship with our county sheriffs, right?
Yep.
And
we're going to be talking about tactical civics tomorrow. That's one of the things that happened. And so here, now they're using, we saw there's a coup, an attempt to take down. Donald Trump is still the legitimate president of this United States. And there's a coup. It's designed. You got Dirty Jack Smith. Now, when I'm saying that, his own other corrupt lawyers, you know, when you're at that point where other corrupt lawyers refer to you as Dirty Jack, and he's had case after case after case after case overturned because of he's been caught in so many ways, how can he continue to stay? And first of all, you know, here's a good article. Justice Thompson raises scrutiny on Special Counsel Jack Smith's appointment to Trump hearing. Now, I don't know, of course, I'm not one of Trump's lawyers, but there's a lot, and this is what Justice Thompson brings up. Have you ever questioned his authority to bring charges against the president? Okay, and he asked, Justice Thomas asked Trump's lawyers, on April 25th, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case of that President Trump's being immune from prosecution for official acts carried out during his presidency. During the hearing, Justice Thomas asked Sauer, the attorney who represented President Trump in court, did you, in this litigation, challenge the appointment of Special Counsel Mr. Smith, who was appointed in the case by Attorney General Merrick Garland, Mr. Sauer said that Trump's attorneys have not raised such concern, and I don't understand this. Of course, I don't know what they know either, directly in the current case at the Supreme Court. However, it points to a very important issue here, because one of the prosecution's argument is, of course, that we should have this presumption of regularity, said Mr. Sauer stated. That runs into the reality that we have here an extraordinary prosecutional power being exercised by someone who was never nominated by the president or confirmed by the Senate at any time he said.
Right.
He's
illegitimate.
I know that. And we said that when they first appointed him, remember?
Well.
Okay.
And we keep saying it, and what I can't understand is why the Bar Association has not come in and said, hey, look, this is the truth. He's not, you know.
I don't wonder why that is. I know why they haven't come in.
Everybody's gotten it. Even the lawyers are corrupt. And
so who's Jack Smith's boss? Is it Garland?
Merrick Garland.
And is that why potentially they're not questioning? Because that would go, it's the authority under Garland?
Right.
Right.
Okay.
That's how a revolution, see, we've been telling people for quite a while now that they're in the middle of a communist revolution. We are being taken over. The United States of America, our constitutional republic, is under in the middle of a revolution. We've lost control of the FBI. We've lost control of the Justice Department, the government, the deep state. And we have a corrupt president who is allowing it to happen or fomenting it to happen. As mentally ill as he is, I don't know where he is on that, but he's been an evil, wicked man all his life, so he makes a pretty good patsy. If he's not pushing it, he's the perfect patsy to do it.
Well, here's the argument that Clarence Thomas makes to Trump's lawyers. Why haven't you done it? He says, however, the Attorney General cannot appoint someone never confirmed by the Senate as a substitute United States Attorney under the special title counsel.
Right. That's why it'll get overturned. But see, they don't care. They know all of these cases will be overturned by the Supreme Court. But the whole idea is, one, you keep Trump from campaigning. Two, if you can, you make sure he's found guilty of something. Put him in jail, even if he gets out. It's the picture. Everything is psychological. Everything's political. It's the idea of destroy Trump, his reputation, break him financially, keep him from campaigning, because they said
that's what it is. It's campaign interference.
The appeal will be after the election, so it won't matter.
That's exactly right. This is election interference, which is a violation of the federal law. So
he wouldn't even let him go. President Trump go to his son's graduation.
Well,
yeah,
that's an emotional thing. The big thing is it's keeping him from campaigning. That's the big political issue.
Yeah. So, anyhow, there you go. And so again, everything they are doing is illegal. But so they've become totally lawless, haven't they?
Yes.
Okay.
But if we can back up, there's two big things. I was looking, we were talking about these three federal marshals, five policemen shot, one's in critical condition. And I did a quick check. The Carolina Regional Fugitive Task Force is in Charlotte. And this is the federal marshals. And in 6 years, the federal marshals have apprehended about 9,000 fugitives through this U.S. Marshals Service. That's what they do. Their job is to find fugitives and bring them to justice. And back in 2007, there were a couple of officers killed responding, and they've had a pretty good record all these years. I guess the last marshal shot was back, 2018 in Tucson, Arizona. And so we have a lot of people grieving. One more may die, a lot of families. And then if you look, the tornadoes going through Oklahoma and the Midwest, we know there's five dead in two states. four adults are dead and one child, and the weather report says the severe weather is going to continue, the risk of more severe weather this week while they're trying to do recovery operations. And they said the weather is not as dangerous as what happened, but it doesn't take much bad weather to disrupt the recovery operations. They're still looking for bodies and people is what that means. They're still looking for possible survivors or dead bodies because people are missing. So I think, Pastor Ernie, I think we ought to pray for all of those families that have lost because they're families of these police officers, federal marshals, and these families in these towns that have been just totally, I was looking at some of the pictures, it's total, it looks more like the Gaza Strip. The destruction was almost permanent in that one small town. There was almost nothing left of an entire town.
All right, Joe,
so
first
I think we ought to be in prayer for these survivors.
What we need to do first, though, is pray for Lisa. Little Lisa here, she's in the hospital tonight with pneumonia, and so I'll pray for her. You pray for the family. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold Lisa up. You know, she does so much work, and Lord, we know she loves the attention she gets when I tease her all the time. But Lord, I just want to hold her up to you and ask right now, Father God, Lord, that you might touch her. Lord, she has the same thing I had, that pneumonia. And I know how unpleasant it is. And so, Lord God, that you would just touch her, that she might heal those lungs, that she can breathe again, Father God, and give her a quick recovery and return her back to work, because we certainly do need her. We're understaffed. So this we ask in Jesus' name. And go ahead, Joe.
Amen on that. Amen. Lisa. Lord, is... I look upon the pictures of this destruction from the tornadoes, the dead, the four adults, the one child. Many others are missing, rescue work going on, bad weather coming. Father, just be merciful on these families. Just be with the families that are suffering because they've lost loved ones or they have family members missing. That, Lord, that you would comfort, that you would help them find anyone that is still trapped or missing, that they would be found, that you would just maybe calm that weather down so the recovery mission can continue, that so many people are hurting, have lost everything they own, they're scared, that through faith in you, Lord, they might be, you know, comforted. And that you would send volunteers are coming by the hundreds and thousands. And, Lord, we, you know, thank you for that. Just ask you to touch the hearts of people that will donate, will help work, give blood, whatever is needed, Lord. And then we have this horrible shooting there with the federal marshals, the local police. Three dead, five wounded, one may not make it. So many families tonight are grieving, Lord, and we don't know if any of these men were saved or not. I know the decision had to be made before they were taken away, but can't ask for their salvation. It's already determined. But, Lord, that you would be with the families, the wives, the mothers, the sisters, the children, the families of all these men that were lost, and for those that are in the hospital in critical condition, that you would grant healing mercy, that you would reach out and touch them, Lord, and bless them in every conceivable way, help them recover, and just help all of those who are so hurting tonight and so much pain. We just ask these things of you in the name above all names, in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Aaron, you don't really have time to do that one now. We're coming up to the break. But, you know, it's an interesting thing, a couple things. Had they not had so many agents there, there wouldn't have been so many of them killed. But you say, well, how did this happen? You had three people. Apparently they shot the father. He shot one and killed one of the agents out there, and they shot him.
No, he killed all three of the main suspect killed all three of the federal marshals and wounded another policeman or two. And then they were able to, they shot him and then the two other, a woman and a younger man. They didn't really say, we think it's family.
They when did this happen?
Firing rifles and had about a three-hour siege before they were arrested when they ran a armored vehicle through the house and broke the house down is how they got them.
Well, you see, I heard a complete different story today. I heard that he had killed one of them and wounded a couple and that they had shot and killed him in the yard. And then they came back into the house, and that's when the son and the mother went ahead and they both were firing. One of them had a high-powered rifle.
Yeah, that part we're right on. It's funny. I got what I'm going is the Daily Mail. The London Daily Mail had the most complete coverage, and I found them on things like this usually to be ahead of and more accurate than our American press.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, you may be right. I wasn't there, but I know what I was destined
right. Well, what we're pointing out is with this media, we can't trust things anymore like we used to. There's so many lies, there's so many fake medias out there, but we do know people are dead, and we may not know the details, so we can still pray. But that brings me to one quick story. There was a, and this ties in, there was an arrest, high school principal. He was arrested over a fake video of him made by artificial intelligence. This white principal was blasting the blacks. And the people were, you know, all over the internet, you know, they wanted him fired and they wanted him thrown in jail and all this. Well, fortunately, the school put him on leave and everything. And to make a long story short, there was an investigation. The local police started it, got some help. And found out, it was fake. It was AI. There was a person, the principal fired, a high school coach who was doing some bad things, and he got caught. So he made this AI thing to go after the principal that fired him, and it took quite a few months to get to the truth, but it turned out that they've cleared Principal Eric Eschwert, and the man, Dazhon Darian, was their athletic director, who was a crook, but it took many, many months because of this AI thing. It looks so real, it took months to prove it was a fake. So we are going to see so much more of this kind of stuff, stories that may not be true at all.
One of the things that they're doing that's very offensive. They're using that now to make these young girls naked.
They're taking their pretty little face of a high school girl and putting her on a naked.
No, these high schoolers are
throwing her out there for everybody to see, causing a lot of guilt and shame and embarrassment. And it's just getting started, folks.
Yep. Well,
I hate to say that, but
here's the thing: we're coming up to a break, but it'll be. Very quickly, they will be breaking into radio programs like this and making us say things that we're not saying.
That's what I'm afraid of.
So we're going to be letting the folks out there know, be prepared for this. You know who we are, what we do, and you know what we wouldn't be doing. So
what we've said for 30 to 50 years, and if it starts changing like it's different, that's
be right back after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.